from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Proposition 35, the CASE Act, would institute higher fines for all human trafficking offenses, a $32 billion industry. And while definitions of human trafficking, everyone seems united against human trafficking as we define it, opponents of Prop 35 argue that it's a politically motivated initiative that will penalize sex workers and their families rather than criminals who trade in human beings. Defenders of the proposition assert the need for increased penalties in order to deter traffickers and to protect those most vulnerable from the threat of sex slavery. Joining us in studio is Chris Kelly, who is a former Facebook chief privacy officer, Silicon Valley attorney and philanthropist, and founder of Safer California Foundation. Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me, Michael.
Glad to have you. Also glad to have Maxine Dugan, who's also here with us in studio, founder of Erotic Service Provider Legal, Educational, and Research Project. Welcome to the program.
Thanks.
Glad to have you both. And Chris Kelly, let me begin with you. Let me begin by actually saying to listeners that this would increase fines considerably, all human trafficking offenses, 1.5 million from the current maximum of 100,000, 5 to 12 for labor trafficking, goes up to 5 to 20, especially bigger sentences for forcible rape and horrible things of that sort. We're broadening the definition of trafficking, though, are we?
No, actually, we're reflecting the federal law as it defines trafficking. The Prop 35 is crafted based largely on federal law, and it's designed to match its penalties. The commercial sexual exploitation of minors and others, and the labor trafficking of many around the globe, as President Obama recognized in his current speech, is growing and a danger to our communities. We can step forward and fight it with Prop 35.
So you're modeling the state penalties after the trafficking and current federal penalties, essentially.
That's exactly right. But it's also a comprehensive strategy to make sure that we are providing victim services and moving the state forward. Also, as President Obama recognized in his trafficking speech, it's important that we fight this on the internet as well, and that's why it includes internet identifier provisions that I was able to get implemented while I was at Facebook with Andrew Cuomo in New York State.
More tools for protection, more deterrence as a result. That's the essential rhyme and reason of this.
That's the plan.
And in terms of forfeitures, I mean, you can get a lot of more money out of this.
Well, we're seeing more criminal gangs turn to human trafficking, both sex and labor, because they can resell human beings over and over again. You can only sell drugs once. So we have to up the financial penalties to these traffickers to provide for economic deterrence as well.
Maxine Dugan, again, when most people hear trafficking should be stopped and trafficking should be punished, they rally to this. But you see this as really aimed specifically at sex workers and criminalizing to a greater extent the work that they do.
That's very correct. I mean, it names us, it names prostitutes and all of our family members, our intimate relationships, our domestic relationships, our economic relationships specifically in this ballot measure. It doesn't name farm workers. It doesn't name people that work, you know, as house cleaners. It names prostitutes specifically. So we see this ballot measure as, you know, further violation of our labor, human, and civil rights under the guise of rescuing trafficked victims, which doesn't really actually rescue trafficked victims, nor do any of the provisions in Prop 35 act as a deterrence with the high penalties and fines, as is proven in the research.
Well, I believe you also see it, and this sounds like a harsh word on the face of it, as kind of a scheme for financial profit.
Well, this is, you know, part of the ballot box budgeting schemes that many California ballot measures have brought before the voters to say that it's against human trafficking when really it's an anti-prostitution piece of legislation. And the scheme is to be able to profit off the criminalization of our labor. And these are failed ballot measures because as we are in the $6 billion deficit that we are now as a state, where these ballot measures are passed and then the voters are left to hold the bill. For example, in Prop 35, the voters are all going to have to pay for all the litigation. They're going to have to pay for now under the new broadened definition of who is a trafficker, as we saw in the hearing up in Sacramento in front of the Public Safety Committee, that there is a new broad definition. And many innocent people are going to be caught and prosecuted prosecuted, and the voters are going to have to pay for all of that incarceration while the proponents walk off with all the high fines and fees.
Well, Chris, I want to get Chris Kelly's response to that, but before I do, you also see this as politically motivated by the ambitions of Chris Kelly. How are you able to read his ambitions? He ran against Kamala Harris for attorney general, but...
Well, he sure did. He ran against Kamala, and, we see that, because our occupation is criminalized and all the people are criminalized, and frequently people who are actually victims of human trafficking are marginalized people and don't have access to equal protection under the law. And so when we see these kinds of ballot measures come forward without consulting us, and not only didn't consult us, but they didn't consult the other experts in the field of human trafficking. For example, we see that former San Jose police officer John Van Kick, who actually served on the Human Trafficking Task Force, is opposed to Prop 35 because of the way it does a runaround with those high fines and fees to the nonprofits who oppose, human trafficking, but really they're anti-prostitution groups, right? And instead, it diverts those high fines and fees under current laws that we have that would actually go directly to the actual victims now. Like, the governor just signed a bill that said that the asset forfeiture will go directly to victims instead of to, these nonprofit groups. And actually right now, why this is a politically motivated ballot measure is because Kamala Harris's office as the attorney general is hosting or has hosted a roundtable with working groups with experts from the field of human trafficking of over 100 people. And she's getting ready to publish that report here this fall. So we see that these are competing ideas around how to deal with the issue of human trafficking without really taking those of us who are actually directly affected by these laws into consideration.
Chris Kelly, should you have taken sex workers more into consideration?
Let's talk about who we did talk to, the victims of human trafficking. You can see their stories on the website, voteyeson35.com. The district attorneys of Alameda County and Santa Clara County are supporters of this initiative. We've spent a lot of time with victim services, with Missy in Oakland, which has served more than 1,000 commercially exploited youth over the last 5 years, with Wind River Services in Sacramento, which has served thousands of commercially exploited youth. We spent a lot of time talking to the real communities, the real people who are affected by this, and they wanted to take a stand against trafficking. I also took into account my own experience in fighting this on the internet. The work that we did at Facebook to move this forward in that internet environment is substantial. It's been successful. We avoided the MySpace problems that you saw over the years. I'm happy that a lot of other political figures are trying to step up and do something about trafficking. We didn't want to do piecemeal work. We wanted to make sure that we had a comprehensive approach. We've worked with law enforcement. We've worked with victims. And we're excited about where we are in this process.
And your political ambitions here?
I have no plans and no plans to make plans. I've been very, very glad to step forward and help this important cause.
And the opposition is saying that anyone receiving support, children, parents, spouse, roommate, landlord with sex workers can be punished.
I just encourage everyone to read the initiative. First of all, the idea that this is anti-prostitute when it actually provides for immunity in trafficking prosecutions for prostitutes is really hard to support with the facts. So please go to Vote Yes on 35 and see the victim stories and read the initiative.
Well, part of the problem here is that many of the victims who have come forward actually work for those nonprofits. So they stand to financially gain if Proposition 35 is passed. And voters are not going to be able to understand what Prop 35 is about because it's got so many different codes that are listed in there. And unless voters take the time to go through and look up all the 12 or 13 or 14 different codes, criminal codes and other codes, that they're not going to be able to understand how this works, because I'm receiving calls from across the state who cannot understand what this ballot measure says, and they can't understand why it's on the ballot when voters are clearly aware that there have been several pieces of legislation that have been passed on behalf of human trafficked victims. Last year, California passed 4 specific pieces of legislation that deal with many of the provisions here in Prop 35. But probably, you know, voters are not going to understand that many of the provisions, like the one about having people register as sex offenders when they haven't even have put their hands on anybody, is going to be detrimental to...
Well, it's going to wind up in a sex registry, which is a lifetime...
And it's going to be detrimental to the public safety when law enforcement have to sort through a long list of people on a sex offender registry to try to find who is responsible for a recently committed violent crime. And that's one of the reasons why we saw some of the legislators at that hearing in Sacramento in front of the Public Safety Committee call into question those kinds of provisions, as well as the other unconstitutional provisions that, you know, Prop 35 tried to get passed in front of the state legislators.
Yeah, let me ask Chris Kelly to address that.
The legislative leaders are trying to defend their turf. They think that they have a solution to this problem, and what they want is just the ability to put out press releases saying that they're addressing a problem that they haven't addressed. That Charmaine Bach, who we, the prosecutor in Alameda County, who we helped draft Prop 35 with, has presented for the last 5 years attempts to change the law so that you no longer have to prove force for a minor being pushed into prostitution. I think that you should be able to presume that. That's what federal law says.
Because the opposition is saying if a minor mows the lawn, they can get
which is a fanciful interpretation of the language. We match federal law here. And that law has been clearly interpreted. Now, I mean, there are some issues. I think that we may need to have a broader conversation about prosecutorial ethics and what gets charged and how. But the idea that you shouldn't have good laws, and particularly laws that are harmonized with federal laws, you know, because a prosecutor might overstep their bounds, it doesn't make sense.
Well, Ms. Dugan also indicated that there may be a fight here, a political fight imminent. In terms of rights for sex workers and prostitutes, I mean, prostitution is now illegal and perhaps it's moving in a different direction. And what's your concern in terms of that reality?
Well, I mean, I think that obviously that Maxine and a number of people have an agenda to try to legalize prostitution in the state. That's not an agenda that most of the state shares.
Well, I would disagree with that because the state does not – voters do not support prostitutes being arrested. And to see that law enforcement is going to be financially and politically rewarded for, again, specifically targeting people in our industry instead of going after real crime like rape. I mean, I'm serious. This ballot measure makes it so that you won't even have to have put your hands on anybody to be convicted as a sex trafficker and have to register as a sex offender, while people who are and they're going to have to serve more time in prison than people who are actually convicted of rape.
All right. I want to do this. I want to open the phone lines because I know listeners are going to want to weigh in here, and you are, in fact, cordially invited to join this conversation. Not only with comments and your sentiments and your thoughts, for that matter, your emotions about this proposition that is now before California voters, but you may indeed have questions as well, and we do welcome your participation. Our toll-free number is available now. It's 866-733-6786. We welcome your calls. Again, you can join us toll-free at 866-733-6786, and there are, of course, other ways to join the program. Go to our website and post any questions or comments you have there, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, or go to our Facebook page, and you can also tweet us, and our Twitter handle is at KQED Forum. Let me remind you that we're looking at a new Tough on Trafficking proposition that Californians will vote on this November. This is all a part of our present election coverage, and What's Government For is the title we've given it. Everyone certainly seems united against human trafficking, but opponents of 35 arguing that it's a politically motivated initiative, it will penalize sex workers and their families rather than criminals who trade in human beings, and defenders of the proposition assert the need for increased penalties in order to deter traffickers and to protect those most vulnerable from the threat of sex slavery. Maxine Dugan here with us in studio is founder of Erotic Services Provider, legal, educational, and research project, and Chris Kelly is former Facebook Chief Privacy Officer, Silicon Valley attorney, philanthropist, and founder of Safer California Foundation. Chris Kelly, you had a response to Ms. Dugan?
Yeah. If voters want to protect prostitutes and focus on charging traffickers, the way to do that is through Prop 35. There's a specific immunity in the law for prostitutes in the case of a human trafficking case. It's very much like the rape
and
shield
law. And
so
what about the rest of us? What about the rest of us who are not being humanly trafficked, who are adult consensual
workers?
This
law doesn't affect you.
it will affect us because law enforcement relies on these prostitution sting operations that we've all seen widely reported in the media. In fact, the proponents even stated that they watched a television show about these prostitution sting operations on massage parlor workers, and that's how they became informed about human trafficking. So the idea that a bunch of innocent people, our families, our friends, are not being targeted under Prop 35 is an outright false and piece of misleading information, along with the facts and findings of Prop 35 that greatly overstate what the actual human trafficking problem is here in California.
Okay, we've got a lot of callers and a lot of people who want to join this conversation.
Let me just say first that it sounds like Maxine has a problem with current law enforcement and current prosecutorial efforts. Perhaps she should focus her efforts there instead of on a proposition that that tries to move the ball forward and has law enforcement training to make sure that they're focusing on traffickers instead of prostitutes.
Oh, well, we did Prop K in 2008, so we've already
legalized prostitution.
You've gone that route, but let's go the route to our callers. We begin with a caller joining us from Bakersfield. Jane, you're on. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I do support Prop 35, and my reasons for doing that is that I know that in our own town, in our own county, there are girls being trafficked. A local ministry to prostitutes and the police have talked with some of the ones who are being sent up and down California, throughout California, and trying to give them courage to leave. And I want to say that just this summer we have formed a coalition to deal with human trafficking in our county, but of course it takes a little bit of time to get it up and running. And Prop 35, a couple of things in particular about it will really give us tools that we need. And one of them is a mandated law enforcement training, and also dropping the requirement for minors to prove force will really help. And local people becoming more aware, developing programs to minister to counsel, to rescue, to shelter, and to help these gals and guys come back into the society with as little damage as possible is what we're counting on. And Prop 35 is going to go a long way to help us, too.
All right, Jane, I thank you for the call. And Maxine Dugan, I'm sure you've heard the argument that there's a lot of predatory behavior out there. We're not only talking about sexual people being, used for sexual purposes and so forth, but labor. I mean, there's human slavery.
Yeah. Right. And the issue is that in our industry, in the sex industry, we're all criminalized. And we don't have equal access to protection under the law. And that was one of the provisions in Prop K in 2008 that we wanted. We want the right to be able to come forward and make reports of crime, of rape, robbery, theft, coercion, and extortion, and if we're witnesses to those crimes without the threat of being arrested, without being investigated, without having our livelihoods threatened or the livelihoods of our, you know, children.
But understand why I'm also bringing the emphasis on people who are used as labor and human slavery as
right.
well, because it encompasses not only sex workers.
Well, exactly. But this ballot proposition specifically names us. This is about prostitution. That's
you say
what
this
ballot
it changes
is about.
Penalties for all human trafficking, whether for sex or for labor. And it has a comprehensive strategy to address that.
I'll bring another caller on. Mary, that's you. Oh, you're welcome.
Hi, this is Mary. I'm just calling to express my support for Prop 35. Human trafficking has become such a lucrative business, and we do need to increase the consequences for people who are choosing to exploit other human beings for their own personal profit. And I just want to encourage those who have questions about the legislation to actually take the time to understand it, who wrote it, and why it's so important. It is a complicated issue that requires complicated legislation, and I just really want to encourage people who do have questions to take the time to understand it.
Right, thank you for the call. Maxine Dugan, first two women out of the chute here in favor of 35.
Right. So part of what we do at the Legal Education and Research Project is we look at actual research, and part of what is being provided in terms of misinformation in the trafficking whole scheme is the information about the numbers of people that are involved in human trafficking and the amount of money.
I'm sure our listeners would appreciate your website. You might as well give it out.
Oh, sure. It's our website is esplerp.org, and that stands for the Erotic Service Providers legal education and research project, because we want to make sure that any laws that get changed are based on actual factual research.
Well, Chris Kelly, you have a website too. Some of the facts may differ, but you want to give it up?
VoteYesOn35.com provides you with survivor stories, with a proper analysis of the initiative, and about why it's a comprehensive strategy to address human trafficking in California.
Here's a question from a listener named Colin. Welcome, Colin. You're on.
Good morning. I'd like to know what due process protections there are for landlords who may be inadvertently renting their housing units to sex traffickers. Are there enough due process protections to protect people who may have their property seized without any actual knowledge that sex trafficking is going on in any units that they own?
Yeah, there's been concern, Chris Kelly, of some of the opposition. You want to address that?
Generally, seizure requires ownership and actually that the owner be tried. So the idea that somebody would inadvertently sort of be in a motel or something like that and that the underlying property would be seized unless the owner were charged is fairly far-fetched.
Well, I totally disagree with that, because specifically Prop 35 says that you won't have to know. You won't have to have any,
It says that specifically?
Yeah, that's what it says.
It doesn't say that.
Yes, it does say that. It says that you don't have to know.
You have to read the proposition.
Yeah, please read the proposition.
Let me thank the caller. I want to get some more calls on here, and that's a caller in Oakland. Glenice, you're on.
Hi, this is Janice, and we have a huge human trafficking problem in Oakland. Children are recruited by traffickers who pose as boyfriends at the middle school and elementary school level. On their way to school, children are harassed. And these children, drug traffickers, have moved into human trafficking because it's more profitable to sell a girl than it is to sell an ounce of coke. You sell coke once, you can sell a 12-year-old girl 10 times a day, every day. They're selling them on the internet. They're leveraging cell phones and the internet. We need to have traffickers' internet accounts registered. We need to protect our children. This is a very, very important initiative. We need to protect our children. Law enforcement around the state of California needs to be educated about how to deal with victims. Many times in many counties, not in Oakland, but in other counties, victims are treated like criminals. The children are brought in and treated like they've done something wrong when they've been enslaved by traffickers.
Janice, I appreciate your call, and I want to go to Ms. Dugan again. Maxine Dugan, you feel this is the wrong solution, but you would concede, would you not, that this kind of predatory behavior among children
goes on?
Absolutely,
but what voters don't understand in Prop 35 is it relies on the continued arrest of those very children, right, who are being exploited for prostitution. They're all being made to be defendants in criminal cases and having those cases adjudicated in criminal court.
Well, let me ask Chris Kelly, what's done to protect the children from prosecution?
In a shield law for the first time. You know, this is the sort of through the looking glass part of the conversation, that Prop 35 actually has a very protective provision for prostitutes to aggressively encourage prosecutors to go after traffickers instead of the prostitutes. So
how are they going to get them? That's my question to you. How are you going to get to those traffickers without arresting a bunch of innocent people? Because you're saying here now that children are being coerced into working as prostitutes, and they're innocent. And how's this going to work?
We provide them with immunity in the cases where trafficking is charged.
Immunity, that means that they're going to be facing criminal charges. That's what immunity means.
Yes.
Okay,
and
that's
different from the current system? This is a massive improvement for girls who are charged, so that they instead the prosecutors where you know right now there are a number of prosecutors in the state who just like to go after prostitutes because it'll ring up their stats. We want them to go after traffickers instead, and that's why we have an immunity provision.
Well, here's Tony, who writes on our website, the reason sex trafficking exists is because prostitution is illegal. If you really want to reduce sex trafficking, the best solution is to legalize and regulate prostitution, not increase the penalties against it. As long as it remains a black market enterprise, it will exist in the shadows and be under the sole purview of criminals and pimps. victims. And another listener, Linda, wants to know, and Chris Kelly, perhaps you can answer this. She says, would you please make clear exactly what kinds of workers would be affected by the new law and who would be on the registry you keep referring to? For example, what about people who work in the S&M fantasy sex places or lap dancers?
Well, I mean, only if they're convicted of a trafficking offense would they end up on the sex offender registry. Only if they've committed a registrable sex offense would they end up on the registry. The only change that we make in terms of registration is some making it clear that some trafficking offenses that it's not clear you have to register for right now, you do have to register. And then also we expand just adding a field in the database for all 290 registrants. 290 is the section of the code that requires sex offender registration. Have to provide internet identifiers as well. If Megan's Law were passed for the first time today, it wouldn't just be physical addresses that sex offenders would have to register. It would be their electronic addresses as well.
And here's Daphne, who writes on our website, human trafficking entails profiting from the sexual exploitation of a child who cannot legally consent to sexual conduct or the use of force, fraud, and coercion to compel an adult into forced labor or commercial sex acts against his or her will. Prop 35 not only requires the showing that the trafficker causes a child, quote, to engage in a commercial sex act, end of quote, but also, quote, with the intent to effect or maintain a violation of section, end quote. And it lists 12 different existing criminal sections presently in our state law. Let me get another caller on. That's you, Al. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Mr. Kelly. Where were you on the Wall Street issues? You're presenting yourself as a law and order person. I know you went against Kamala, who isn't doing a whole heck of a lot to put any of them in jail. Where were you on that?
Well,
where are you on Fitter and these other important people who are frequenting prostitutes and claim to be very religious and holier than thou? Where are you on them?
I want to keep the discussion focused on Prop 35 here, but I'll be happy to tell you that I'm very much in favor of making sure that Wall Street pays for its crimes.
Well said. And Shabazz is our next caller with a little time left. Shabazz, please.
Yes. I don't know where, you know, the lady who's your guest there, and figure that if you're dealing in prostitution, just, you know, and I know they say it's been legalized and everything, but just the fact that you legalize prostitution, it spills over into the mindset of children. And there's no way you can have an occupation or something like that and it not affect children. I mean, you know, just the mere fact that you're talking about legalizing it, And you've legitimized it by saying you got erotic services and these kind of things, then children are going to pick up on that too. So, you know, you do more harm. There's nothing at all positive.
Shabazz, we've got our music coming up here when we come to the end. And again, I want to keep the focus on Proposition 35, but I want to extend appreciation to both of you for a certainly animated and enlightening debate. And now it's up to the listeners. Maxine Dugan, again, is founder of Erotic Services Provider Legal, Educational, and Research Project. And Chris Kelly, former Facebook Chief Privacy Officer, Silicon Valley attorney, philanthropist, and founder of Safer California Foundation. Thank you both for being with us on
thank
the
floor
this
morning.
And thank you, our listeners, and for all of us here at KQED Public Radio. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.